Inside Hogwarts, a Harry Potter podcast made by kids for kids. I'm Daisy.
And I'm Vaughn.
And today we're talking about Chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, The Woes of Mrs. Weasley. I think that's what it's called.
The Woes of Mrs. Weasley.
Right? Yeah?
I think so.
Okay.
Based on what happens in the book.
I'm, like, pretty sure. Okay, so we have... This is what I added to the little setup today, because it's probably one of my favorite things that I have in my room. Let's see if it'll stand up for the entire recording, but yeah.
I don't approve.
It's like, I always have it up on my shelving unit over there, and it's a nice
next touch. Recording, we're gonna have to make up for the British flag by including an American flag as well.
An American flag also. Yeah, but like, Harry Potter is in England. And Scotland. That's where Hogwarts is. Scotland. I think.
You betray your home country, Daisy.
You know what? I like both countries.
We staged a revolution to get away from the British.
Now I'm going back. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I just hit the mic. Hopefully that didn't make too much noise. But yeah, so Vaughn's coming up. So summer is coming up. And are you excited for summer, Vaughn?
Kinda.
I feel like next episode we should go over like some sort of... like Harry Potter themed summer bucket list of like all the different things that we could do
for Harry Potter.
Yeah, I feel like that would be, or like just giving people ideas, not necessarily we have to do them, but if you want to do like Harry Potter themed activities, we could come up with a bunch and then do like a little bit of a bucket list. That could be fun. But yeah, I think that could be a cool little analysis, just like, even though we don't have to necessarily do everything, giving people ideas of things to do that aren't just have a Harry Potter movie marathon, even though that would probably be on the bucket
list. It's gonna be on the bucket list.
It would be like 5 times and we would just come up with all the different stuff to go along with it.
Or 1 month, the only thing you watch on TV is a single movie.
Oh, just one movie?
Yeah, like a week you only watch one movie.
Because how many movies are there? There's 8.
And then the second week, you watch the second movie. And then the third week.
So there's 8 Harry Potter movies, 3 Fantastic Beasts movies. Once the fourth one comes out, conceivably, once the fourth Fantastic Beasts movie comes out, you could do that. Because there will be 12 Harry Potter movies.
So, 12 weeks of summer.
Well, no, there's only 10 weeks of summer. But I'm saying there's 12 months of the year. So, you could do that. You could watch Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone every single day for an entire month. And I think you would be able to quote the movie at that point. Like, you would be able to... you pretend that you are in the movie and quote every single line from the film. Would that be a useful skill, Vaughn?
If you're at a Harry Potter convention, it could be a really cool trick. Guinness World Records.
A party trick.
You could get a Guinness World Record for that.
To memorize the entire
Harry Potter script for Philosopher's Stone.
Yep. That would be, honestly... That would be kind of annoying, though. It's always annoying when you go to watch a movie with someone and then they start, like, going along with the line. I've done that before. I've been guilty of that. So, I'm maybe, like, a little bit of a hack.
But if I've ever done that, I only did it for, like, a single line or, like, half.
Right. Line. Yeah. So, yeah. First sentence of this chapter is, Dumbledore's abrupt departure took Harry completely by surprise. Harry stood and left when no one in the wizard gamut looked at him. He almost ran into Mr. Weasley, when he wrenched open the door. Harry closed the door and said that he was cleared of all charges. Mr. Weasley said that was wonderful, and they couldn't have found him guilty on the evidence anyway. So obviously, Harry is upset that Dumbledore just kind of, like, stormed out.
He's gone.
Like, he just dipped. It's kind of annoying how Dumbledore's doing this to Harry, and I was thinking about this while I was writing my notes, that it's a little bit like... no, I guess this is a, like, I would say, like, a romantic relationship, but I think it could apply to any relationship of any kind. The kind where it's, like, Harry and Dumbledore got really close, right? And then Dumbledore all of a sudden is just icing him out. He's, like, completely distancing himself
just
from
completely
Harry.
Completely ghosting him.
So
imagine
Harry...
like, closest friend just completely ignoring him.
Exactly.
For an entire year.
And it's, like, and then that's basically what Dumbledore did to Harry. It's, like, they had this really strong relationship, which...
or, like, your parents...
Yeah, I guess so. To some extent, Harry and Dumbledore's relationship is very strange because Dumbledore is a teacher. Like, teachers aren't...
they're friends.
Because teachers aren't really supposed to get that close with students. They're supposed to be your teacher. Like, you can go to them with certain things, But, you know, there is a line between teacher and friend. And Dumbledore has crossed that
you
line.
You can be a teacher and a friend.
But you're not supposed to. Because you're supposed to be there as a figure of authority, but not to be your students' friends.
Teachers don't necessarily have to be figures of authority.
Who are they supposed to be then? Your besties? Like, they're adults.
They could be friends your with kids. You. They're just teachers. They're called teachers, not figures of authority, are they? Teachers can be friends.
I still don't think it's appropriate for a teacher to be, like, such a close friend with a student.
It's okay, in my opinion. As long as it's not affecting their teaching.
I guess so, yeah. I guess, and it's better that Dumbledore's not telling Harry stuff about himself. Like, it's more one-sided. You know? Because it would be inappropriate if Dumbledore was coming to Harry like, oh my gosh, guess what my brother did this week, and here are all the issues going on in my family. Like, that would be inappropriate. But,
I mean, if you're, yeah, you could, outside of school, I mean, maybe they can chat.
Maybe they can chat. Like, 15-year-old Harry and, like, what, 110-year-old Dumbledore?
He's my best friend.
He's my bestie, dude. Like, we're brosives. We bro hug okay. all the time. Yeah. The door opened and the wizened gamut filed out, some of which nodded to Harry and greeted Arthur as they walked away. Fudge pretended like he didn't see them, and the toad-like witch stared at Harry. Also, really quickly, Vaughn, before we started recording, I was testing out the mic, like, just by myself.
Yeah.
And when you're wearing earbuds, my mic goes through one ear, and your mic goes through the other one. So,
interesting.
I'm really hoping no one's trying to listen with, like, one earbud in, or... Okay, it's also kind of like a Beatles song. You know when you're listening to the Beatles and you can't just use one earbud. Because if you do that, you are missing like half the song.
Some songs, it's interesting how they do that where like one part of the song is like in one earbud. Like you hear the rhythm. Like,
yeah.
One part of the rhythm and then the other part of the rhythm. Sometimes I like that, but sometimes it overusing it can get frustrating.
Yeah.
I listen to... Led Zeppelin, and one of their songs, it's like, in one part, it's really weird. It's like wind.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. Like, you can hear it faintly in one ear, then loudly in one ear, and like drifts. It's interesting, but I don't like it.
Like, it goes eared. Oh, and there's this thing, there's this thing called 8D audio, where you wear headphones, go on like YouTube, they're mostly on YouTube, and just type in like a song, any song, and then go like 8D audio after you type in the song.
Mm.
And what you're gonna get is the sound drifts from one earbud to the other one. Yeah.
I like that.
Queen songs already do it. And then if you put it into 8D audio, it does it even more.
Like Bohemian Rhapsody, it's a lot of like trading off.
Yeah.
Call and response.
There's this YouTube video on Gus Johnson's channel. I'm not gonna link it because Gus Johnson normally, like, he's not the cleanest guy, but he has this one video where he's like listening to the Beatles with one earbud in, be like, and it's just him and his friends like there's like, they have one of those things where, you know, the you bang it together.
Yeah.
And it's just like every 5 seconds one goes like, and then they like say a word because that's all you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, if you're interested in that, I'm not going to link it, but just type in, like, Gus Johnson Beatles, and you'll find it. Harry and Mr. Weasley walked up the stairs. Wait, did I already say that?
You didn't.
Fudge pretended like he didn't see them, and the toad-like witch stared at Harry, which is Dolores Umbridge.
You already just read that.
I know, I just realized that. Harry and Mr. Weasley walked up the stairs to the 9th floor corridor, after Percy had already gone, because they kind of wait for Percy to leave and then they go, and they ran into, and Percy didn't talk to them, of course,
because he's kind of resenting his family,
yeah,
for being jerks and all, which is warranted.
You think it's warranted?
It's completely warranted.
What did they do to Percy?
He just got this really great job. Percy just got this really great job of a lifetime. They implied that he didn't earn the job at all.
They
said that Fudge just employed him to get get more information on Arthur, because Arthur was closer to Dumbledore.
I don't remember when they said that.
They said that, and it's like they implied that Percy didn't get the job based on of merit or anything.
So did he distance himself to prove
He distanced himself because his parents were jerks.
But at the same time, if what you're saying is true, because I don't remember that, so I'm just going to assume that what you said is true, he also could be distancing himself to prove, like, no, he's still letting me be his assistant, even though I'm not with you guys. Yeah, that's what I would think. Yeah. So, Harry and Mr. Wait, did I already say that? I'm really confused.
Just read it.
Okay. Harry and Mr. Weasley walked up the stairs to the 9th floor corridor and ran into Fudge, who was talking to Lucius Malfoy, who called Harry Patronus Potter. Harry could
That's
not.
That's a pretty good middle name. Harry Patronus
Honestly,
Potter.
Yeah. But he didn't call him Harry Patronus Potter. He just called him Patronus Potter. Like, hey, Patronus Potter.
Harry the Patronus Potter.
Harry the Patronus. Like, what if your Patronus was the Harry Potter? Could your Patronus be a human being? That would be weird, but, like, what if Harry's Patronus was, like, Dumbledore?
No, don't even.
I don't know.
I feel like that wasn't a thing.
I feel like it could be. Like, Newt Scamander.
What if an wizarding wizard?
What if a wizarding wizard?
Okay. A wizard scientist.
I'm with you so far.
Created an experiment. They created a new creature.
Okay.
Is it possible for that creature to be a Patronus?
I don't think so, because remember how I was talking about in our Wizarding School episode how I want my letters to be delivered in this, like, Patronus-like creature, where it's not a Patronus, but it's kind of like a Patronus?
A familiar?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
It could be like that. I feel like, I don't think it could be a Patronus, like an actual, but the thing, that leads us to how are Patronuses created?
Patronus charm?
Yeah, but, like, how did they find the Patronus charm that would make the Patronus?
It just best fits their personality?
I guess.
Their soul?
I have no idea. Magical theory, please. Harry could not believe that Lucius Malfoy was talking to Fudge in the ministry when just 9 weeks before he had also been in the graveyard with Voldemort. And he was, like, already a Death Eater. So Harry's like, what is he even doing here?
He's a Death Eater.
Yeah. Do you think Fudge knows? Like, who knows?
Fudge doesn't know. He doesn't want Voldemort back. He was denying it himself.
That's true. But then, like, he's kind of blind to the signs.
He is blind to the signs. He just doesn't want to believe it.
Yeah, I guess so. Lucius said that Harry had a snake-like escape, which is very random. Like, imagine telling someone, like, wow, you were able to get an A on that. Hey, you were able to argue an A from that, you know, teacher, and that was snake-like of you.
Now, is Lucius talking to Fudge or Harry?
That he was snake-like? He's telling that to Harry.
Is he referencing the graveyard or this?
He's referencing escaping in general. Like, oh, I heard that you got out of that. I heard that you were cleared at the trial. Like,
yeah, but is,
you're able to escape almost snake-like.
Do you think maybe...
Oh, I think he's referencing the graveyard for sure.
But he's like covering it up.
Yeah. Because he knows that Harry knows that he's a Death Eater. So there's kind of like this understanding between them of like, yeah, we were both in the graveyard together. No one's going to believe you, though.
Nobody's going to believe anybody.
Yeah. So they have this thing between them that like...
It's like an unspoken rivalry.
Yeah. And you think Mr. Weasley would immediately steer Harry away.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of like trauma for Harry. And he's kind of faced with this.
He just watched Cedric die.
Exactly. He's faced with this person who was there. You think Mr. Weasley would, like, steer Harry away?
Aided in the murder of Cedric?
Basically, yeah. So, it's just strange that Mr. Weasley didn't immediately go, oh my gosh, it's Lucius. Like, Lucius, like, get us out of here. You know, we don't want him anywhere near Harry. Because that's what I would do. Lucius asked if Arthur was supposed to be on the 2nd floor, taking Muggle artifacts home and bewitching them. Harry asked Lucius why he was there, and Lucius told him that it was none of his concern, and that just because he is Dumbledore's favorite boy doesn't mean he should expect that treatment from everyone else. Lucius and Fudge went off to his office, and Harry and Mr. Weasley went to the lift. Mr. Weasley said that Lucius was probably going to discuss gold with Fudge.
Gold?
Because for years he had been giving money generously to the ministry so that he can ask favors and delay laws that he doesn't want passed.
Corruption!
Honestly, though, if you really think about it, that kind of reminds you of, like, you know how, like, people are donors of colleges?
Yeah.
Like, they're, like, alumni will, like, give money.
Give money. and then their students will be accepted.
Well, no, I'm saying alumni. Well, I guess actually, yeah. But if you're Steve Jobs, for example, and you donate, because I think he has a building at USC, and you donate a couple million dollars, and they're like, to thank you, we're going to build you a building, and we're going to call it the Steve Jobs building.
They're going to build the building with the money that they donated, and they're going to call it the Steve Jobs building.
Yes, but it's like, it's for classes, you know? It's technically for classes.
What is it? Well, I don't understand. What are you implying?
I'm just saying that it's similar to that. Okay. Like how Lucius gives money to the ministry, and then because he gives money, he has a say in things because they don't want him to stop giving money. So he says, no, Fudge, like, don't give that law. Let's wait on that. So Fudge is like, well, if I say no to Lucius, he's going to stop giving me money. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, so basically they're all Lucius's puppets.
Essentially.
Yeah. So for, they went up to the lift, the atrium, which is like the main room.
Yeah.
And when they walked past the fountain, Harry emptied his entire money bag into it, which.
How much money did he have?
I don't know, but it was definitely more than 10 galleons because that was what he said he was going to give.
No,
if he got cleared.
Wait, now what does. Wait, what was it donated to?
To the St. Mungo's. Remember we talked about it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So then that night, or when they got back, Ron and Hermione told Harry that they knew he would be cleared when he got home, and everyone else was very excited. Mr. Weasley told everyone to calm down and said to Sirius that Lucius Malfoy was at the ministry talking to Fudge. Sirius said they would tell Dumbledore, and Mr. Weasley left to go back to work. Everyone else ate lunch at the table. Over the next few days, Harry realized that Sirius was unhappy that Harry would be returning to Hogwarts. Hermione said that he was hoping they would both be outcasts together, which is very selfish of Sirius. Because, you know, in his mind, he's thinking, I don't want Harry to be cleared. Like, I want Harry to be cleared, but at the same time, like, I want him to stay with me forever. Which is just kind of sad. But I feel bad for Sirius, but at the same time, he's not really, like, very involved with Harry. Yeah. Even when they're at Grimmauld Place, do you notice that? Like, they don't spend very much time together at all. And
they don't.
Sirius is always there.
It's generally, like, 20-second, like, a few minute interactions.
Exactly. At meals, even. Like, they sometimes they don't even talk in meals, or if they do, then it's not written in the book. Because it just seems like Sirius is purposely distancing himself from everyone. I don't know why he's doing it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's upset with himself, so he doesn't want to. I have no idea why he's doing this. Hermione said that she thinks Sirius gets confused about if Harry is himself or his father, because he's been lonely for a very long time. 13? He waited 13 years in Azkaban. I forget the line from the movie.
The Dementors accompany him.
You know, I guess. That would be a main source of loneliness, though.
They even have names. One's Jerry.
Do you think he named them, or do you think they named themselves Jerry? Do you think he went, you are Jerry, you're...
No, the crazy person in the cell next to him named him Jerry, so Sirius decided to call him Jerry,
okay,
too.
So then Sirius kind of, like, stole Jerry from the cell next to him. He's like, you're gonna be my best friend.
Yes.
Not that guy. Okay. On the last day of the summer holidays, they all received their book lists. One of which was a new Defense Against the Dark Arts book that they had never seen before. Fred and George apparated next to Harry and said that they wondered who the new teacher was. They noticed that Ron was still staring at his paper. Ron had received a prefect badge. Fred and George were surprised and said that they were sure Harry would have been picked. So basically everyone, Ron gets this badge and everyone is like, no.
Whoa.
Literally no.
That's not possible. That's gotta be like a fake.
Exactly.
It would have been really funny if friend George had just created a fake badge.
That would be so horrible. Imagine if you were Ron.
It's like those pranks where they give you, like, car keys for Christmas, and then you come out and you see, like, it's a tiny, like, one of those kitty cars.
That would be horrifying. I would be so sad. Because, like, when you watch videos like that, people are, like, freaking out. They're like, oh my gosh, I got a car. And then
Like, go outside.
And then imagine the devastation of walking outside. Okay, this would be really mean to Ron, but for, like, for Christmas, for example, he gets, like, a Nimbus 2000, but they just hand him, like, the twig from it. They're like, you figure out where this twig goes.
You gotta grow
and
he's like, for two years.
He's like, I know this twig. This is a Nimbus 2000. You have to, walking around trying to find it.
You have to make your own. This is a Nimbus 2000. Make your own kit.
Yeah.
So you have to learn all the charms, and you have to get the ingredients yourself. So you're gonna travel across the world to purchase these ingredients, and the travel cost and purchasing the ingredients is gonna cost more than the broom itself.
Exactly. And it's gonna be a good character building activity for Ron to have to do that as well. Mrs. Weasley, Harry took the badge to look at, and Hermione rushed into the room. She had also been picked as a prefect. So when she rushes into the room, Harry is still holding Ron's badge. And she's like, Harry, no way, you got picked too, me too, you know? And then they're like, oh no, that's Ron's. And she's like, what? Like, no,
Wait, I don't believe that loser?
That guy? Who is that guy? No, I don't believe
this. There must be a problem. I lost Dumbledore.
Exactly.
Ron can't be a prefect.
Let me write Dumbledore. Can I borrow Harry? Can I borrow Hedwig? Harry, I need to write Dumbledore. This must be a mistake.
Ron, can I borrow your owl? You shouldn't be prefect. I'm sorry.
He's like, bro, you want to borrow my owl to contact someone about how I shouldn't be prefect? She was also surprised that it was Ron and not Harry who had been picked. Mrs. Weasley came to them to give them their laundered robes and to take their book lists because she was going to go out to Diagon Alley and, like, buy all their books.
Diagonally.
And she was extremely happy about Ron's badge and said that everyone in the family. That's everyone in the family, which no, because Ginny. So Ginny, but then Fred and George are like,
She actually said that's everybody in the family.
She goes, that's everyone in the family, and George just looks at Fred.
She considers them part of the family.
Literally, George looks at Fred and he's like, are we like next door neighbors? Wait, if she goes that's everyone in the family, she means Bill, Charlie, Percy, and Ron. So then she's missing Ginny, Fred, and George.
I mean, Ginny can't even be one yet.
That's true. But, like, Fred and George, they...
That was cold.
The thing is, only Fred or George could be a prefect. Because you can't have two male prefects. It's one boy and one girl.
Ooh.
So that would be a really sad...
They don't have to be fifth years, though.
Oh, really?
Can it be sixth years or seventh years, too?
I guess, but then why wouldn't you just be picked every year?
I mean, because they're going to alternate.
Was Oliver Wood a prefect?
I don't know.
I think it's always a fifth.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He was?
He was. Okay. Oh, wait, no, that was Percy. Never mind.
I feel like Oliver Wood and Percy are the same. I love both of them, so I'm okay with that.
I ship.
You know what? It is a ship. What would their name be?
Pauliver?
I feel like Percival, but that's already his name, is Percival. But it's just kind of the V, you know, in Oliver.
Percever.
That feels weird.
Percever.
Oliversy.
No,
not. Alersy. Oliversy. Yeah, perfect.
Sounds like a disease.
Oliversy. Yeah, it does kind of, but I ship it.
Okay.
Are they in the same year? Oliver and Percy?
Well, I don't know.
Where are we? Oh, Mrs. Weasley said that he needed a reward for this. So since he already had an owl, Pigwidgeon, what else did he want? Ron asked for a broom and her face just fell. She's like, we can't afford that. Which is very sad, you know. Ron added that it didn't have to be a really good one, just a new one. Mrs. Weasley said, of course, kissed Ron again and left. I still think it's weird that she can't afford one. Mrs. Weasley should just get a job.
They have terrible money management. Miss Weasley can easily get a job.
I don't understand why she doesn't, because when all her kids are at school and Mr. Weasley is at work, where does she go?
She just stays at home and does nothing.
She must.
First of all, if you can't support your family, get a job. Get better money management. You clearly don't spend it on good stuff. Yeah. And
But also, because isn't their house kind of described as being messy? Like, what are you doing the entire time your kids are at school? Just sitting there? Like, are you a machine that just turns off?
Does it really take you 9 months to clean your house?
Literally. I don't even get it. I think she's just a machine.
And then in the 3 months that they're home, they completely ravage it again.
No, literally. I think she just turns off when her kids are away from school. Powers off. And just sits there. And then when they come back for holiday, she turns back on. And the house is still a mess.
No, she visits her sister that lives in Belgium.
Oh, okay. Every day. Of course. Yeah. Fred and George joked that their law-breaking days were over since Ron and Hermione were prefects and they apparated out of the room. Ron left to tell his mom that he wanted a clean sweep. Harry said in an annoyed voice, "Brilliant, perfect, great." Hermione asked, brilliant, like prefect. Great, you know, that's great that you got it. Hermione asked to borrow Hedwig so that she could tell her parents, and Harry said, "No problem, take her." And we're going to discuss more about Harry's kind of issue in the analysis.
Ron and
because
Hermione
it kind of goes
clearly
along with
aren't picking
about.
Up on the fact that Harry is mad.
Yeah. But let's talk more about his, like, anger and all that in the prefect's analysis. So when Hermione left, Harry laid down. He covered his face with his hands, thinking that if he remembered that prefects prefects were being picked, he would have expected it to come to him, not Ron. And so he continues thinking about all of the things that he had done that Ron had not done. Go ahead, Vaughn.
Harry started telling himself that Ron and Hermione hadn't fought the Basilisk, didn't fight Quirrell, didn't get rid of the Dementors, and weren't there when Voldemort was resurrected. A realization that Ron didn't ask to become prefect washed over Harry when Ron entered the room. He said he said that Molly would get him the clean sweep. Ron and Harry began to pack their trunks when Miss Weasley brought Ron his broom. They went downstairs for dinner.
Wait.
What?
He already got the broom?
No, they were packing their trunks and Miss Weasley got back and handed them.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
They went downstairs for dinner where they had a party ready for Ron and Hermione. Arthur and Bill were on their way.
Who organized this?
Molly!
And like while she was in Diagon Alley, she just got like a phone out. She was like, "Guys, you gotta come." How do they communicate?
How do they?
Owl? Like she just sent them an owl? How do owls get into the ministry? Is there some sort of chimney that they just, like, fly up?
In the ministry, they don't use owls. They use memos.
I know, but, like, how would you get a letter to someone who's at work in the ministry?
I have no idea. Maybe they have, like, a vent system for owls.
Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes there are clogs.
Oh, okay. Like, owls, like, there are too many owls at once, and they all just kind of get into this, like a hairball, but it's like a jumble of owls.
They have to get a guy in there with a plunger.
And the guy just kind of takes a stick and just pushes.
Just bash them through.
Yeah. And a lot of them don't make it.
A lot of some suffocate in the ball of hair.
Yeah.
They went to, Arthur and Bill were on their way, and Sirius,
oh, that's great that Bill's coming.
Tonks and Kingsley were on their way.
Yeah, see, this is a big party. It's a big deal. Like, yeah, he's prefect, but I guess maybe in England it's a bigger deal. Because prefects, like, are in average boarding schools in England. So I wonder...
Wait, they have prefects or real things?
Yeah. So I wonder if it's more of a big thing over there. Because for me, it's like, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But maybe if you go to school in England...
Prefect is just teacher's pet. That's the job.
Basically, yeah. Because who the heck is going to get someone in trouble if you're a prefect? No one's going to like you. And you want people to like you, so...
It's like a hall monitor, but like 10 times worse.
Exactly.
Molly asked Moody to see what was in the desk in the drawing room, because she was scared it was something bad. Moody sold his eye upstairs and said it was a bugger, and Molly said she would get it later. Arthur, Bill, and Mundungus arrived shortly after.
Mundungus, of course he's there. Who invited that guy?
Arthur and Bill. Arthur toasted Bill.
They went to Diagon Alley, and they were like, "Okay, I'm gonna check this alley, you check that alley."
What? No, I think they were just with Mundungus, and there was like a
but
where, going along.
But Mundungus is like a thief.
But probably,
they have they have mutual friends.
How is he
gonna
steal from poor people?
I don't know.
Arthur toasted Ron and Hermione. Harry slipped away from the main party to Fred, George, and Mundungus. Fred and George were buying illegal tentacula seeds from Mundungus, and Harry told them to be careful. I hate saying Mundungus. Mundungus will be the song this season.
What can we call him? What can be our nickname for him?
Fletcher.
Mundy.
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 Like Bundy.
Yeah, but like Mundy, it's better.
Mundy agreed to selling the seeds for 10 galleons, and Fred hid them upstairs. Moody called Harry over and showed him a picture of the original Order of the Phoenix.
The good old days.
He started listening like a ton of them off, and like a ton of them had died, which is very morbid for Harry.
Yeah.
Then he showed him, then he saw his parents.
Thinking like, about the original Order of the Phoenix makes me want a Marauders TV show so badly. Like, I really want to see these people as young.
I mean, I'm not, I wouldn't care much for the Marauders.
Oh,
TV
I would.
Show.
I love the Marauders so much.
Harry slipped away upstairs and found Miss Weasley in the drawing room. She was shouting ridiculous while sobbing as dead bodies of her family appeared on the floor.
This part always scares me because
it's
imagine
sad.
Harry.
They should have
like,
included in the films.
Yeah.
Lupin entered and shouted ridiculous as the Boggart vanished.
Ridiculous. There we go. Not.
Ridiculous.
There you go.
Still
no.
Molly sobbing. Molly, while sobbing, asked what would happen if she and Arthur were killed. To their children, like what would happen to their children if she and Arthur were killed? Lupin assured her that the Order was stronger this time than because last time the Order was outnumbered 20-1. And that the Order would look after her, their children. Harry felt a pain in his scar, but it quickly left, and he went to bed. Last sentence. He felt older than he had ever felt in his life, and it seemed extraordinary to him that barely an hour ago, he had been worried about a joke shop and who had gotten a prefect's badge. And I just want to comment. Like, we're talking about, like, the 20-1. Like, there were an insane amount of Death Eaters in, like, the final film. I love that shot where you see all the Snatchers, like thousands. It's like a
the
massive
ones that are running across
wizarding
the
force.
Yeah.
It's like insane.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, yeah. Alright, we're gonna be right back with our analysis.
I love magic.
Alright, welcome back for our analysis. So, that chapter part went very long. We haven't recorded a chapter part that's been that long in a really long time. So yeah, before we start our Hogsmeade journal, yeah, I was just thinking, Vaughn, we're gonna have to do like a lot of bulk recording because what's gonna happen this summer is I'm gonna be gone for like weeks at a time.
Yes,
and then also
you're gonna
be gone at weeks at a time. We're gonna have to start taking our notes like rapid fire and then just recording like almost every day just to so we can pump out like episodes. And that'll be really nice too because then we don't have to worry about recording every Sunday or whatever. We can just have them all done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that'll be nice. So yeah, hopefully. So if our news isn't, like, super up-to-date over summer, we do apologize about that, but there will definitely be a lot of bulk recording coming up, especially, like, next episode, we're going to be, like, in Utah when it comes out.
So the Hogsmeade Journal might not be completely up-to-date.
No, it probably won't be, but yeah, I'm really excited for summer.
But it just means a lot of information the first day of bulk recording.
Yeah. But I'm really excited because I feel like over summer we're going to try to, like, have some really good episodes.
Yeah.
And we're definitely going to be talking about AVPM soon. AVPM,
a Very
the
Potter
sequel. I forget what they're called. I think there's one called AVPM Homecoming. I think that's the third one. But I don't remember what the second one is called. Mm. A Harry Potter sequel, I think. And then we'll have, what's it called? Probably the summer bucket list Harry Potter themed next time.
Mm.
But yeah, so our Hogsmeade journal for today, we have a few things that I want to talk about. So the first thing is that Pottermore Publishing came out with new Harry Potter book covers that are digitally designed. So I'm just going to get it out there and say that I don't like them, and I'm going to throw them up on the...
No, what is this?
I'm going to throw them up on the screen so you can look at them while we talk. So if you're on Spotify, or even if you're not on Spotify, go to Spotify and like so you can look at these with us. But seriously,
it's shameful.
These are shameful. Yes. So look at the first one. This looks like a video game.
It's a good drawing. It's a good drawing.
Fine. Yeah.
I'll say that. But am I gonna buy an extra book for this?
No.
I wouldn't even buy it. No matter how good the cover is, it's a great cover. But like, I'm not gonna buy it just because it's different.
A lot of people do that. A lot of people will collect them, but I just don't think that this is
good enough for me to go out and buy it. Like, I have my illustrated editions. I don't need whatever this is.
Harry Potter has a different look. He could be a girl. You could tell me he's a
honestly,
like,
yeah.
If I didn't know what Harry Potter was, and you showed me this image and told me that was a girl, I would believe it.
Yeah, I probably would too. It kind of looks like Into the Spider-Verse kind of graphics.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of gives me that vibe.
But I'm not
and the fan. Castle just looks so fake in the back.
Oh my god!
What is this?
Yeah, but what is it? Okay, never mind. That was like a broken floating tower or something.
Oh, okay.
Not, okay, it doesn't.
No, it kind of does look like
it's,
it, but it's
okay,
connected
but
from the side.
Still not great.
Yeah.
Next.
All right, Chamber of Secrets.
I like
kind of
like
this one.
I really like this one, but I'm still not gonna buy it for a new
I
cover.
I like, yeah, because if you want to buy it for the new cover, you want the set. I'm not just gonna get like the Rogue Chamber of Secrets with this kind of cover. But I like the car. I've always been a fan of the
but
Ford
physics
Anglia.
Physics don't exactly.
Yeah, this
seem
one,
to be working in this.
Honestly, no.
Somehow, the car is supported by the slightest bit of it on a branch.
Yeah.
But the majority of it is hanging up in the air.
Yeah,
on
no,
the back.
I know what you mean. It's, but it, I like the cover. I've always been a fan of like the beginning of Chamber of Secrets. I don't like the end, but I like this part.
I don't like the castle. Why do they make it look like that?
I know, it's so short. And then look at Hagrid's hut. Hagrid's hut looks bigger than the castle.
They make it
does.
Look all cutesy.
It looks like the Burrow, kind of.
It could be the Burrow.
Yeah,
like the nicer.
Literally, yeah. Okay, Prisoner of Azkaban. This one is the
why do they keep
so
changing
bad.
The way Harry looks?
It Harry looks fake, and I'm not even kidding. This looks like Into the Spider-Verse. This looks like a look at Hedwig.
Harry doesn't.
What
look,
it, why does Hedwig look so masculine?
Harry doesn't look like Harry. He looks like some emo purple-haired teenage girl.
You know what? I kind of agree with that. But seriously, look at Hedwig. Look at this.
Why it's
aggression.
Like so resolute.
Hedwig is a dude. Or in this Hedwig is a girl, but no. And like, what is Hedwig on? Is he flying or is she flying?
She's on a trunk.
Yeah, but like, what is connecting her to the trunk?
Her claws.
No, because that is one claw. Like, it is weird. And then look at this dude in the back. Look at Stanley.
It's Stanley.
Yeah, this is horrible.
I don't like the way it looks.
Number four, this is so bad. Look at the mermaids. It looks like they made one and then copy and pasted. This is really bad.
Oh my god, wait, yes, actually.
It actually does. They
it
all
does
look
like
same.
They copy and pasted. No, obviously
I don't
they
like
didn't,
this.
But like, it looks like a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. But I mean, the background's pretty good. Harry's pretty good.
Fine, because that's only because you can't see his face. Order of the Phoenix.
Wait, who's that?
Hermione, exactly, right? Hermione's hair looks good, but why is Hermione front and center?
Why do they keep making Harry's hair purple?
And is that Luna back there? But the real question here is, why is Hermione front and center on a Harry Potter book?
I mean, I know, right?
Like, why is Harry standing in the back like he's a side character?
Harry Potter's the main character.
Exactly. Put Harry there. Put Hermione in the back. This is just not good. Okay, number six. You
what
had
is
a
Dumbledore?
Really good nostril shot from Dumbledore.
He looks like... Dumbledore does not look good at
no.
all.
He kind
like
of has a pig nose.
He could be a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
And Harry keeps having purple hair.
I know. It looks more blue in this,
oh,
actually.
It's still always blue or purple.
Kind of looks like he's wearing an earring. Everything's sparkly.
Okay.
I don't know.
Next.
Okay, and then the last one.
Voldemort.
It's a little bit disappointing. I feel like they could have put more into that.
Not a fan of Voldemort.
I don't like any of this. What is this
like
orange
just
magic?
Just like orange swirl. I don't know why that's included. Like, maybe it's Harry's spell, but it looks like it's taking up the entire background behind them. It looks like there's
yeah.
like fire behind them or something. It
I
doesn't
agree.
Look like Harry's spell.
It doesn't. Okay, so yeah, we don't like these covers. Tell us what you think though.
That's not even the Elder Wand.
That is a weird looking Elder Wand. It's like whoever designed the covers just had no concept of who Harry Potter is. They didn't know he was a guy. They didn't know that he doesn't have purple hair, because yet again, he has purple hair on this cover. And they didn't know.
They probably just, like, it looks like they
the
just,
other one looks
it
like.
Looks like they just hired an artist, like, take this shot from a film, alter it a bit.
Yeah.
And just.
And they, like, or, like, they vaguely told them what Harry Potter is about, but the
Or, like,
it.
They just showed them a couple scenes from a film.
Yeah. So then we have So I just wanted to quickly tell you, I probably should have mentioned this last week, but The Secrets of Dumbledore is now available to watch on HBO Max. So if you have HBO Max, go ahead and watch that. If you haven't seen it in theaters, I recommend watching it just so you can have the experience of watching it and, like, know what we're talking about. But if you have seen it, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it again unless I'm doing a rewatch. Unless I'm doing a marathon, which we haven't done a marathon in a long time. We should do one over the summer.
I'll consider it.
I had fun the first time we did that one rewatch. Because, like, I was there for every movie, but then we would randomly have, like, our mom show up for a movie or, like, our dad.
And, yeah.
And then our mom would get invested, and then she would sit and watch 5, 6, 7, and 8 with us.
But then she'd be done.
Yeah. She would not stick around for Fantastic Beasts.
Wait, we have 12 movies now.
No. 8 Fantastic Beasts.
Yes.
We need Fantastic Beasts 4, then we can get to 12 movies. Then we can live out that fantasy of literally watching one.
All right, guys. Yeah. On to the analysis
portion. No. We missed this.
Oh, sorry. I forgot. Before we melt Hagrid in this pot of fire for our vlog.
Vaughn, how long?
We gotta do this.
Actually, yeah, we will be vlogging after we film this. We're gonna
Hi, guys. Welcome back to this video. Today, we're melting mini Hagrid. We're gonna see how it happens.
We're gonna see how... Wait, you know
what? We are the slow-mo guys.
Melting Hagrid is 1,000 times funnier when you're doing it in a cinnamon pecan swirl candle.
That suits Hagrid.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
It sounds like
He would like that scent.
He would die.
He would die. It smells so good.
He would die smelling very good.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Yeah. Okay, so... Recently, we didn't talk about it. It came out in March, so we're a little bit late to the party, but the Hogwarts Legacy State of Play video came out in March from the Hogwarts Legacy YouTube channel.
So, you got to see some of the common rooms. Combat doesn't look very good.
Let's describe what the State of Play is before we get into all
that. Okay, so, State of Play, they just demonstrated certain aspects of playing.
It describes how you have to design your character.
So, like, what's gonna happen? So, you have a room of requirement where you can, like, brew your own potions, take care of your animals, all that stuff. You can create your own clothing, aside from robes. There's classes. So, I want to state a few grievances.
Okay,
go ahead. I do not want the game to be, on a sort of linear schedule where, like, I'm stuck. Okay, so it's talked about, like, throughout the year, like, seasons change. The year better progress with the story missions. And I also don't want to be on a timer to go to class. That'd be annoying.
I think it will progress with the missions. Because if it didn't progress with the missions, like, let's just say it progressed with the normal year. What sucks is it's coming out a holiday 2022, so it'll come out this Christmas, but we're going to be starting in September, because that's when Hogwarts season, like, the year starts. So really, this should be coming out on September 1st.
It would have been smarter to make it come out.
And then that way, if you really want to, you can play it, you know, every day, go to your lessons, and then conceivably, if you play an hour a day, every day of the week, not weekends, you could finish by the time school is actually over. But what's probably going to happen is it's going to take me 2 to 3 years to finish this game because I won't play it enough. And then I will be stuck in winter for years. And then same for fall and spring.
Also, combat doesn't look good at all.
I agree.
So what, like, it looks like super slow. It looks like as if there's like a slow, like, it, like, does, like, one of those slow-mo shots, but, yeah, like, it doesn't focus every in on time. Anything. It's not, like, a cinematic at all. It's, like, a slow-mo every 2 seconds of fighting, and it takes forever to kill one enemy. It looks like Jedi Fallen Order combat, if you've ever played it, but, like, worse. Well, Jedi Fallen Order has pretty good combat, but, like, this, it looks like you're gonna have to memorize individual spell, like, combinations, like, button combinations, which is gonna be very frustrating.
Well, something I noticed in the State of Play video is that they included a lot of cutscene clips where it was, like, for example, there was a couple shots of these, like, three goblins walking in. And, yeah, that
It already spoils the main villain.
Yeah, it does. And then there's this really cool...
When it's supposed to be a mystery.
There's a cutscene where you and this other guy are getting ready to duel. And, you know, like, he's walking over there, right? And the cutscene... The cutscene looks so good. And then all of a sudden you get into the character. The character's actually dueling, and it looks horrible. Like, a red line is around the enemy, and he's like...
I don't like it.
It looks so dumb.
In the thing where you were dueling... It looks like a master of the game. It just started playing. Like, he immediately obliterated the guy you were dueling. That normally you shouldn't be able to do that if you were just a beginner at the game.
Like, it's just a strange thing that, like, way they set it up.
I mean, graphics are good, but they don't exactly live up to the best graphics going on right now.
No. I mean... Well, do you think they're better than Red Dead Redemption graphics?
No, of course not.
You don't think so?
Does not at all reach that.
The landscaping doesn't look as good as Red Dead Redemption 2 landscaping looks.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think that game is pretty well graphiced, I guess.
I just hope it's okay, at least.
Yeah.
But, like, I have high expectations. My expectations just dropped after the video.
But something that I did think was cool is that they have the kitchens. You can go to the kitchens, and there's a bunch of cute house elves
in there. So what? And how does that add anything?
Also, the prefix bathroom looks mighty fine. That looks pretty good. All right, so for analysis today, we're going to be talking about prefix. But I also want to talk about what kind of happens with Harry in this chapter relating to not being a prefect. And let me remember, there are two prefects per house, one boy, one girl, and I think you have to be in your fifth year. Because after your fifth year, you're eligible for head boy or head girl.
What's head boy or head girl? Like, what's the difference? Like, leader of the prefects? No idea.
Doesn't Ron and Hermione both end up being head boy and head girl?
What's the difference?
I don't remember. I don't remember, but I don't. But prefect, I think head boy and head girl is just more of like a title.
Like, head boy is like a top prefect?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I think so, but I think head boy, the way I see head boy and head girl is it's more of a title. It's like, oh, I'm head girl, you know, like, I have this special authority or whatever.
I'm cool.
But if you're a prefect, you're just kind of, like, walking around hall monitor style.
You have authority as a prefect.
Yeah, but just, you're more of a hall monitor, is what how I think of, of a prefect. So, what do you think about Harry not getting picked to be a prefect? Like, obviously, he would have been the easy choice.
I didn't include this in my notes, but Kingsley said he would have, if he was the headmaster, he would have put Harry as a prefect because it demonstrates trust.
What do you mean?
Like, if it demonstrates Dumbledore put Harry as a prefect, it would have demonstrated trust in Harry.
Like, it would have demonstrated that Dumbledore trusts Harry.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, but how would other students have perceived it? Other students would have thought that Dumbledore was playing favorite.
Sure, favoritism, but Dumbledore doesn't care. Why would he care?
The thing is, I don't think Harry would care so much if Ron hadn't gotten it. If, like, let's just say Seamus Finnegan had gotten prefect.
It hurts harder because those are his close friends.
Exactly. And I think that if Harry had actually been picked, I don't think he would have liked it. Because Harry is not this disciplined guy.
But I don't think what Harry wanted was the role of prefect. He just wanted to be recognized.
Yeah, he wanted. I guess so. But attention. But I think, like, it hurts more than he actually cares. Because if he had actually liked, I don't think he would have liked being a prefect. He would have been like, I don't want to get everyone in detention for not behaving or not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But I don't think Ron was a good
choice.
Ron's
not even a good choice. He's not going to get anybody in trouble.
Exactly.
It's
going to be Ron. Ron's not going to get anyone in trouble, but at the same time, Ron isn't good in school. He doesn't do well in lessons. He's not especially good at anything. You know?
Yeah.
Harry's a better flyer. They're both kind of equivalent in lessons. Like, there has to be someone that's a better choice. Why doesn't he let Neville be prefect?
Neville would be good, but he isn't. Have like his he doesn't speak up.
True.
If he was prefect, nobody would listen to him. He That's wouldn't true. Care enough to yell or
but
to
maybe,
speak up.
But maybe Dumbledore should have picked Neville to kind of demonstrate that Neville could do that, or like pick Neville, talk to Neville, and then give Neville that like opportunity to speak up. Because it doesn't seem like Neville ever has that opportunity, where he has the teachers backing him. Which if he was picked as prefect, he would have the teachers backing him.
Mm-hmm.
And his authority. But who would have been a better option? If you were Dumbledore, who would you have picked?
Who would have I picked? I would have still picked Ron and Hermione.
Not Harry. And why not Harry?
Because it teaches Harry to... It like, teaches Harry not to be as selfish or arrogant as he is.
I don't think he's that selfish or arrogant, because I would have felt the same way as him. Like, if you...
He was like, I was there with Voldemort and all that garbage. Like, so what, dude?
Dude, yeah, he survived, like, almost being killed by Voldemort. Sometimes.
Yeah, how does that warrant being a prefect?
Well, I don't know. All I'm trying to say is that, like, imagine... Like, you go to school, and you have a close relationship with this person who gets to pick who's prefect. Well, actually, why is Dumbledore picking? Why isn't McGonagall picking?
Why would McGonagall pick?
Because it's by house. So Snape obviously picked Draco and Pansy.
Who says Dumbledore picked?
Well, I'm just saying, why wouldn't McGonagall have picked Harry?
Wait, who is that?
I'm not saying Dumbledore
Maybe Dumbledore
picked,
helped.
I think Dumbledore did pick. Because I think of, based on what he tells Harry later in the book. Because Harry asks Dumbledore. It's just a weird, like, situation. Because, like, yeah, it's just a weird situation. Because if you think about it, like, you go to school and you have a close relationship with who's, you know, you're your teacher's favorite student.
Yeah.
And you know that you have more qualifications to be picked for a position like prefect. Then who gets it, and then you're upset, because it's like, I wouldn't have liked the position, I didn't want the position,
yeah.
But like, I'm just upset that I didn't get it. I wonder if Ron wanted it. Do you think it was something that in the back of his mind, he was like, I hope I get picked for prefect?
No.
Because I don't think he would have talked to Harry about it, but
I doubt Ron would have even considered wanting to be it. He probably, like, ruled that out as an option.
You think so? Because yeah. He wants to live up to his brothers and their success. You know?
I know.
And both Bill and Charlie, I think, were head boys. They were both prefects. They were both, like, Quidditch stars. Well, Charlie was the Quidditch star. I don't know. It's just weird. Okay, so I found this article at Wizarding World, and it's Hogwarts prefects ranked in order of usefulness. And we're just going to say whether we think they deserve to be prefect and what we think they would use their power for as prefect. Like, what could we see them, what trouble could we see them getting into as a prefect with the power that they have? So the first one is Hermione Granger. Do we like that she was picked?
No, she like wait, is the last person number one? Like, who is this?
I don't
like what's happening.
I think it's
Hermione's most useful?
Yes, she's most useful.
Okay.
So what do you think of her being picked? Do you think she should have been picked or something?
She should have been picked, but like people are just gonna think of her as like some nagging person.
Because she kinda already is.
She's already nagging. She's essentially a prefect before she was even a prefect.
I would never want to be like Hermione.
I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of like her, like being like scolded by Hermione for doing something.
Yeah.
And it's Hermione.
You wouldn't like Hermione if she always constantly
just,
did that.
She's obnoxious. She's bossy. She's, you know.
Yeah. Like Hermione should really just be, you know, good at studying, but then at the same time be nice and like make friends, because what she does is kind of like, by being annoying doesn't make friends. Ernie Macmillan.
I honestly barely remember him.
Me too. And he almost chickened out of joining Dumbledore's army. I don't know. He's fine. It's just kind of like, I don't really know that much about him. Wasn't he in Chamber of Secrets?
Was he? I have no idea.
I think he was one of the ones talking with Susan Bones about Harry. Alright, the next one is Percy.
Percival.
I love that they use the word freaking in the description for this. Everyone and their owl knows that Percy freaking loved being a prefect. So, yeah, he freaking loved it. What do you think about Percy being prefect?
He's pretty arrogant. I mean, he enjoys the job way too much. The power, it goes to his head.
Yeah, that's true. But so what do you think of Percy as a character? We're definitely going to do an episode on him.
I mean,
but we talk about it enough.
He's justified, but he's way too arrogant, and he has a massive ego.
Yeah, that's true. All right, the next one is Cedric Diggory. Of course Cedric Diggory was picked. He basically is a Hufflepuff through and through. Like, you know? Like, except for the whole badges thing, I feel like Cedric has this side to him that lets him be like kind of be carried along with the crowd, mm-hmm. of like, well, they're, you know, they're making these badges, they're wearing these badges, like, you know, I'll tell them to stop, but I'm gonna be joking with them and they can keep wearing them, that's fine. But he's like, he's pretty much a Hufflepuff through and through. I love how the end of his little description says, "What a prefect! What a guy!
What a catch!"
Honestly, I love Cedric so much. I'm kind of sad that he's gone.
Yeah,
like we're never gonna talk about Cedric again. Like,
just because he died, you know, he was a pretty sick dude. Die.
Penelope Clearwater. We don't know anything.
Nobody know. Who cares about Penelope?
She was the girl that Percy was dating. Remember?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Oh my gosh. Lucius Snape?
Lucius
he was
Malfoy?
A prefect? Oh, Lucius Malfoy. I don't know why I said that. Lucius Snape. No, Lucius Malfoy. I can't believe he was.
Wait, so was he a student along
Wait,
with
listen
Snape?
Listen to this description. He was nice to Snape when he was sorted into Slytherin. So. Wait,
this
no.
Just
Lucius Malfoy is older than Snape.
He is?
It says, so at least he did his duties in welcoming new students. So it's saying Lucius Malfoy was prefect, Snape came to school, and then he, like, welcomed mm-hmm. Snape in. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, they're
I mean, it makes sense,
here.
Yeah. Okay, Ron Weasley.
Somehow Lucius is higher than Ron.
Well, because Lucius at least helped to welcome new students. Ron didn't. It says, we love you, Ron, but you were not a good prefect. He was too scared to give his brothers a talking to. He wanted to underage drink in Hogsmeade. He threatened Seamus Finnegan with a detention when he was only speaking his mind. And he was always forgetting about his duties around the school. Oh my gosh, Lupin is lower than Ron and Lucius Malfoy.
Remus.
Also, look at this picture of Lupin. It's cool. I like that. He looks kind of sad, though. Remus. What do you think of Remus? Do you think he, like,
I honestly don't know how he acted in school. I thought he was studious, like, but wasn't necessarily the best kid.
I think of him as quiet. Do you remember when we talked about Mischief Managed in that, like, little thing we did?
But I don't, I think he was okay, but he wasn't the best student, but he wasn't as bad as James.
He reminds me of, do you know how the Super Carlin Brothers paralleled all the different people from Marauder era to Common era?
Yeah.
So Remus is kind of like Hermione. Like, he's the Hermione of the group. Who are the other ones? Isn't Snape Luna?
Wormtail?
Or
who's Wormtail? Wormtail's like a tag along.
Oh, Wormtail is Neville.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense.
Ginny is. Ooh, Harry is James. Who's Ron?
Ron is Sirius.
Is he? Okay. Who's Ginny?
Who's Hermione?
Hermione's Lupin.
Okay.
I don't remember. I feel like we should rewatch that video now. The next is Draco Malfoy. He basically just abused his power. He was a bad pick, but obviously if Snape is picking prefects, he's going to play favorites and pick Draco. Do we expect any different hint from him? Probably not. And the last one is Voldemort. So, yeah, he was a prefect. He gave all of his professors the impression that he was practically perfect in every way, but he also set a basilisk loose in the castle, got a muggle-born witch killed, had Hagrid expelled, and wormed the truth about Horcruxes out of Professor Slughorn. Which technically is Slughorn's fault. I would not blame Tom Riddle for that. I would blame Slughorn for that, but I already feel bad enough for Slughorn, so we don't need to put any more on him, you know. But yeah, so that is our prefix analysis. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. You can email us at insidehogwartspod@gmail.com to let us know all of your thoughts on today's episode. And, like, you know, tell us what you think of these book covers.
Like and subscribe. Next vlog, we're going to be dropping Hagrid off of a bridge.
We're going to keep buying Hagrid Funko Pops and see what we can, you know, what are his limits, Vaughn?
Like and subscribe for exclusive Hagrid burning content.
Yeah, subscribe to our Patreon and you can watch these exclusive videos of us testing the limits of Hagrid Funko Pops. You can leave us a quick review and rating on Apple Podcasts. That would help us so much. Check out our website, insidehogwarts.com, which I still haven't updated, but it'll be soon. Hopefully. Hopefully over summer, I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to be like, Daisy, you are making these thumbnails. And what else? I think that's it. So thank you guys so much for listening. This episode is like going to be an hour long.
It's going to be pretty long.
Really happy about that. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check back every Tuesday for another episode of Inside Hogwarts.